from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
We are back in Buffalo. Plenty of training camp practices in the books, and tonight a practice in Buffalo, or in Orchard Park, rather. Sal Capaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline to chat about it as the blue and red is rolling tonight from Highmark Stadium. Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Welcome back to Buffalo for a couple days, I guess.
Yeah, a couple days, and then back to Fisher. There's a practice there on Sunday morning, right? Sunday, like a brunch practice, 11:45 on Sunday.
Yeah, typically the Bills do this. They have their return of the blue and red, the scrimmage, open practice, whatever you want to call it, and then they give the players an extra, you know, little time to get back. So they'll give them off on Saturday, and then that gives them a little extra time to get back to Fisher on Sunday morning. That's typically the reason why you have a later practice. The only practice that isn't 9:45 a.m. will be Sunday at 11:45 a.m.
All right. So, Sal, before we get to what to expect tonight and how things do work tonight, let's recap practice from yesterday. Strong practice for a number of players. I might want to go so far as to say, you know, I've asked you almost like every day, like, whose camp is it? Who's the story of camp? And is Kaiir Elam the story of camp right now? Because, you know, a first-round pick that struggled to get on the field for them, all accounts, and you've written about it as well, maybe even pushing Benford for that job, which is not an easy thing to do because he's been very, very good. Kaiir Elam continues to be that guy at this camp, it would appear.
He's a story of camp for sure. He's one of the stories, top stories, no doubt about it. I think going in, he was one of the top stories, simply because of his situation, trying to, you know, get to where the level of, you know, him being a comfortable player on the field for them, a comfortable role. I thought yesterday was one of his better practices, but it's not been completely, you know, great for him. It hasn't been positive every day, all the time, every rep. I thought yesterday he had more good reps than bad reps, and that's a great sign, especially early on. The one-on-one with Matt Collins was really impressive, wrote about it. You know, it was a 7-on-7 red zone drill. He has to fight with Matt Collins, who's much taller than him, towards the front pylon. He just stays with it, knocks the ball away. Really great rep there. And then his next rep, or I shouldn't say Rob, I guess a play or two, next play or two, he read a screen pass, swing pass to Devin, to James Cook, and he stepped in front of it, and probably he should have had a pick six if he holds on to it. It was a little tough catch if he had to stretch out for it, but, I mean, he did a great job to do that. So that's not necessarily in coverage, but, no, that's great diagnosis. It's great to get off on the ball. That was really nice. Now, later he did give up a touchdown to Keon Coleman. I'm going to credit that one to Mitch Trubisky, though. Great play action by Mitch. Coleman kind of got loose after Mitch had a really nice play action. I even thought it was a handoff at first. But you know, that's something there, Tiger. That's on the other side of the ledger for him. Much more positive than negative. He is rotating in. He's getting rotation with Christian Benford and Russell Douglas. At this point, I still think it would be pretty much a long shot for him to win that starting job. But the fact that he's here in the mix, guys, is just, I think, a really good thing. And I don't think it's a bad thing for Christian Benford. I don't think we're saying because Benford's been underperforming. I do think it's a positive for Kyrie. They're going to let this play out and give him as much runway as possible to kind of, you know, see and make sure that, you know, hey, are we giving him every chance available to win this job? I don't see him doing it, but I wouldn't give it a zero chance.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, how you describe how his camp is going, Sal. Is it feel like he we've already seen on the field in the limited time he's been in 2 years that you get a lot of head scratching plays, and you'll also get a lot of great plays. I mean, he is. Yeah. I saw this yesterday on Twitter. He's the only Bill under Sean McDermott with multiple interceptions in the playoffs. And that's as someone that isn't even a regular starter, although maybe he started a few playoff games. Does it feel like even if he cleans some stuff up, he'll, to some degree, always be a player that will kind of be like that, where you're going to get a lot, you'll get some big plays, and then you're going to get some plays that are going to drive you crazy?
Yeah, right. That's the ultimate boom or bust, right, Joe? I mean, that's how you describe players like that. They're boom or bust. And yeah, I think that even if Kyrie Elam continues a strong camp, which I would consider he's having a stronger camp, even if that happens and he has to play, whether he winds up actually starting or he just is on the field, aren't we all still going to be a little bit holding our breath until it actually happens and you're not, you know, what happens when you go against a really good receiver and he's got to cover him? Like what happened last year, Calvin Ridley, again, in London, right? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, man, there's just catch after catch. I think we have to really see him kind of do it on a consistent basis. That's what's missing from his game right now, is the consistency. And as much as he's had some big interceptions, he also, you know, his first game, maybe his first start, whatever it was, in Kansas City, picks off Patrick Mahomes. Then he has the playoff interception and another playoff interception. In between, there's a lot of, oh man, like he's got to be better than that. That's where you got to clean up. Even if you don't have the interceptions, just get the consistency. That's what you're looking for. I just find that he's been a little bit more consistently good, but he's still giving up some of those plays, but it has been more consistently good in this camp.
You mentioned there was a play yesterday. I saw it in your write-up, and I think I was standing in the back of the end zone. He jumped in front of, what was it? Was it a screen pass to James Cook that could have gone for a touchdown?
Or swing, but Cook was like right in the, on the side there. It looked like it was a screen pass or swing pass. I couldn't tell like kind of how the design was.
Yeah. What about the rest of the corner room yesterday, Sal? Daquan Hardy, rookie, we saw getting some run on the outside. And, of course, while we're in the defensive backfield, the way safety is continuing here, it's mostly Damar Hamlin, right, with the starters while they've got some injuries?
Yeah, so let's start with safety. Because of the injury to Cole Bishop, we know he's week-to-week now. Because of the injury to Mike Edwards, we know he's been week-to-week here since last week. You know, Taylor Rapp is the starting safety and Damar Hamlin's the other safety. And these are the guys that are going to be kind of, you know, manning that spot for a while. I don't see anything changing. Cam Lewis can play there in a pinch if you need him. He's more of the nickel backup, but he can be a safety. Kendall Williamson is a guy that gets some run there every once in a while. It feels like he's getting beat a little too often when I watch, but that's a guy that they have on the back end. They obviously signed a couple of veterans here, Kareem Jackson, Terrell Burgess, who can play. So those are the guys I think you're going to see. What would happen if they had a preseason game this week? Boy, I don't know, because I don't think you're starting Rapp. You don't think you're playing Rapp at Hamlin that much, especially with the injuries you already have. You can't afford to have more guys down. So you're probably really dipping into it to Corey Couch, you know, down at the bottom there. He's more of a nickel, I should say. Adi Delaney, you know, that's a guy that you might want to put on the field a little bit as well. Hamlin's been the guy. And look, DeMar's had a strong camp. He's had a strong offseason. DeMar played really well in OTAs and minicamp. I know that DeMar, especially because of the fake punt last year, but, you know, if everything surrounds him, there's been a lot of fans and media just say, oh, my gosh, you can't have him on the field. You could do a lot worse in the NFL than your fourth safety than Damar Hamlin, a four-year veteran who knows the system, right? I mean, like, at least that's a guy that understands what he has to do when he comes in. And he's been good he's had a strong camp, I should say. He's had a really strong camp going back to OTAs and minicamp. I do not think that he has hurt the Bills even in this camp when he's been on the field. he's not going to make the wow play necessarily that a lot of other guys are. When you see Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde and say, how did he do that? But I think DeMar's been pretty steady. And Taylor Rapp, I think Taylor Rapp has actually been a surprising, really strong camp for me. I came into this camp thinking, okay, Mike Edwards is there. Taylor Rapp, you know, they really like Mike Edwards. Taylor Rapp's nice and steady, but he's a year in. He made some mistakes last year. I think Taylor Rapp's been pretty good this camp and strong and steady right there. As far as the boundary, Daquan Hardy, you're right. I was very surprised to see Daquan Hardy on the boundary. The guy's 5'9", 170 pounds, I think it is, something like that. He is not a boundary corner necessarily. However, I wouldn't read a ton into that. Yes, they're going to give him reps there, guys. Part of it is circumstantial with 91 players on the roster and so many people in the room. The guy get other guys time at nickel as well. And that's where Tecori Couch comes in, right? I mean, guys like that. So they're moving these guys around. Part of it's circumstantial. You just have to have enough guys to run three full teams on defense. As we get longer down the preseason, I don't know if you'll see that as much. But it's nice to see him out there and see what, you know, that he's getting some run there. But that's not where he's going to fit in the NFL. He's going to be in the slot. And then one more thing on him. He had the welcome to the NFL moment yesterday. James Cook gets the ball. It's a run. He's running kind of towards the edge. And because Hardy's on the boundary, he has outside contain. Hardy took one false step inside, like Cook's kind of inside shoulder, and then got a little flat-footed, and James Cook just took one move to the outside and took it to the house. It's like, yeah, you can't do that. This is the NFL. Welcome to the NFL. You can't let James Cook even get one step to your outside.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we chat about yesterday's practice at St. John Fisher. They're back today for the blue and red. The offense, we had a conversation with Joe Brady yesterday on the show, and you know, getting to know him a little bit, his mindset, his approach to this team and the way he plans on running this offense. I was reminded a little bit of things that used to be said about Brian Daboll, and very specific, just that when we asked him, you know, what's a Joe Brady offense? What's it look like? What are the you're telling people about your offense, what is it? And he said, there's no real answer because it changes so often. And maybe that's true of a lot of guys in a lot of different offenses, but it reminded me of at least what we used to say about Daboll, that week to week, they're going to do what is best against that team rather than just like, hey, we do what we do. And I wonder if you have thought about that comparison, or just Brady in general, as he talks about his concepts and what he wants out of his group.
I believe Joe Brady when he says that. I do think that's what they've tried to do here. Yeah, it does remind me a little bit of Daboll, and that goes back to New England, even when Daboll was there, and what New England's always been, which is, you know, in their run, what did we always say? You never know what you're going to get from them, right? They have a great way of adapting to just kind of knowing what to do to beat you on a week-to-week basis. And I think Joe Brady showed a lot of that last year, guys, when he took over. I think the Dallas game is a great example, right? Like, hey, if Dallas is going to play dime defense, we're just going to run the ball the whole game. They're not going to stop us. But there are other games where, you know, Josh Allen has to be the best player against Philadelphia. Yeah, they lost the game, but that's the kind of game they had to play, right? So I think we saw that from Joe Brady last year. And I feel that because they – of all the personnel moves they made and all these guys who, let's go back to April and March and in the offseason, and me always saying, like, guys, they're building, I've said this since the beginning, they're building this offense where when a defensive coordinator goes into a meeting room on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday with his group, he can't say, this is where the Bills are going to line up, this is how we're going to defend them. He's going to say, we don't know where they're going to line up. We better be ready for A, B, C, all the way through X, Y, and Z. And I think that's really the aim here because you have so many guys who can do so many things on offense that you just have to find the right matchups. Now, that's the trick, though. The trick is that's all well and good. You can do that. And I think they really want to do that. Joe Brady is aiming towards that. But when you do that, you also have to. You're going to game plan for these specific matchups. They better be the matchups that you pick out that are correct, that your guys can win in those matchups.
You know, on Brady, the whole think of Dalton Kincaid like a receiver.
Yesterday?
He does. Yeah. Yesterday, I didn't catch it in our interview, but driving back from Fisher, Joe and I caught the replay on GR during the Extra Point Show. He referred to Dalton Kincaid and said he's such a good wide receiver. So, you know, in terms of positionless football, there's the OC talking about their potential number one weapon at tight end like he's a receiver, and I guess that shouldn't come as a surprise to too many people.
No, and listen, guys, I do think they're going to still want to run a lot of 12 personnel. It'll be called 12, right? It'll look like 12. It'll have two tight ends, two guys weren't in the 80s. We don't see receivers like that anymore. I don't think they kind of think of it as 12, though, right? Yeah, it'll be that. They'll think of it as having another receiver on the field in Dalton Kincaid. And even Dawson Knox can kind of be like that at times, right? I really think that they would like to go back to that kind of usage, but they're not going to think of it as we're really going – it's not heavy, right? It's 12. But, hey, if you want to put really smaller people on the field, we can use these guys to block because that's what they do. And they're going to be able to body you up a little bit because they're bigger than you. So I think they do feel that Dalton Kincaid is much more of a receiver than a blocker, but by no means will he – you know, be a guy that never lines up in line and blocks because they have personnel matchups and mismatches. I think that that's what they want to take advantage of.
Right. The blocking will be a part of it, too. Like, I actually am reminded of there was a clip recently on Sean McVay was talking about Puka Nacuasal, and it was kind of the flip end of how the Bills had talked before last year, where McVay said it's we have three receivers on the field, but think of Puka Nacua like a tight end because he allows us to do so many 12 personnel concepts because he's such a good blocker.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like they do play different positions, and there's probably a 50-pound difference between the two. But, you know, I might wonder if Kincaid and some of those big slot guys like Nacua, for instance, in L.A., just for this one example, that their responsibilities might be more similar than we know. No, and again, part of that would be the Kincaid being a bigger body. His importance in the block game is part of why, you know, 12 personnel concepts would work for the Bills.
Yeah, for sure, Joe. I think
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That, again, it comes down to how the defense also wants to treat it. They might go into a game where a defense says, we're not treating Dalton Kincaid like a tight end. We're not going to treat it as 12. If he's on the field, he's a wide receiver, right? Now you have to play that chess match. Maybe that team says, we're staying in nickel. If they normally run base against 12, but they go against nickel against the Bills. So that's where the Bills then would say, okay, that's fine. That's going to happen. Then, you know, we're going to use him to block. Or, hey, you know, that limits him as a wide receiver, so we have to figure out creative ways to do this. It's also when I think about Curtis Samuel and him able to move around. Now, you know, Curtis isn't the biggest guy, and not talking about blocking here, but hey, we all know Curtis Samuel has the ability to line up in the backfield. Do teams treat that as two running backs if that happens, right? Or do they treat that as another wide receiver, right? So I think the Bills are, again, designing this offense here where we're going to do it, and then we're going to see how you respond to it. And usually your first drive or two, you'll get that feel. You'll see it on tape also with other teams and kind of similar personnel that they use. It's going to be really interesting to see. Yep. Positionless football, right? I mean, like, that's kind of what we've gone to for many years here. Yes, there are positions, especially on offense, where you have certain rules where you have to line up, but that's kind of what we've done here for many years, I guess. And we're going back, I think going on like two decades where we're doing this. It's the same thing on defense. I asked Bobby Babich about that yesterday, about when football became kind of positionless for you on the defensive side. And he gave a great answer, guys. I don't know if you heard this, but if you get a chance, listen to Bobby Babich yesterday, and I asked him about when it changed, like on defense, that you had all these guys going to play all these positions, and it's kind of like positionless football. And he actually gave a specific answer. He said for him it changed when he had worked a little bit with Sean Payton in Carolina. I'm sorry, in New Orleans. And then he mentioned working with Sean McDermott in Carolina and how, like he said, Payton just ran all these – maybe it was going against Payton, I'm sorry, but either way. He was talking a lot about Sean Payton and how he used so many different personnel groupings to run the same concepts. And, like, you don't have to have a specific guy in a specific height and a specific weight to put him here. Like, this guy can do it too. He has that skill set. Just because he looks different doesn't mean you can't. He said, and the guy, believe it or not, remember this name, the one guy that he said kind of changed everything and how he kind of – really opened his eyes to, wow, we can do this, was Captain Munnerlyn. Remember Captain Munnerlyn for the
Panthers, yeah.
Right? And he said that was a guy in Carolina they had that, like, okay, you can move him around and do this. Now that has opened up my – now this is a defense, not an offense, but I think it's all the same. Defenses have responded, and offenses, there's this chess match of, well, if you're going to have a tight end that can be both a wide receiver and tight end, I'm going to have a nickel corner that can be a linebacker and a nickel corner.
Yeah. Well, while we're on all this, too, and tight end, I don't know how often we've talked with you this offseason about Dawson Knox in this way, but I was just curious to look this morning, like, what, before he got hurt, like, what was he on pace for? Like, what was his part of the offense? And I was a little surprised to find that before he got hurt, Sal, like, he was on pace for 70 targets in this offense. And that's not, like, a huge, huge number league-wide, but when you had Diggs getting what he was early in the year and Kincaid had come in as at the same position and Gabe Davis still here, like, 70 targets is a healthy number. Is it fair to expect that he's going to get back to a number like that than what we ended up seeing, which was not really the numbers you'd expect even from a Dawson Knox, who's pretty good but not one of the top tight ends in the league? It was just more the injury interrupted it all, and we never really got a look at how involved they might want him to be in the offense behind Kincaid.
Yeah, and I wonder too, though, let's remember though, Joe, that they really didn't involve Dalton that much early on, right? That's part of it too. Even though Dawson was getting his share, it was like, when is Dalton Kincaid going to be a part of this, right? Didn't really, I think Dalton early on didn't have a lot of targets. So maybe, you know, was Dawson even getting some of those that would have gone to Dalton a little bit more until Dalton got a little bit more up to speed? The number, yeah, probably. But, I mean, I just wonder how many balls there are to go around, right? How many footballs can each guy get? We're talking about all these targets. Where are they all going? You know, it's not like they have 300 a game. So, yes, I think that he has an ability to do that because he'll be on the field a lot. I just don't know if the distribution will actually translate to that kind of number.
Previewing tonight, Sal, it is not a scrimmage. It is a practice, right? That's right. Something I even have to remind myself this quite often. Yeah. Blue and red tonight at the stadium.
Yeah, but they do. They usually do have some sort of, you know, live period where they go offense, defense, so you can count that as a scrimmage, just like you see out of the practice. But it is a practice. That's right. They do all their normal practice stuff. And, no, we don't get, like, the practice script in front of us, but, you know, they'll generally do a lot of that kind of stuff. They could do a red zone period. They could do a 7-on-7. They could do 11-on-11, whatever it is. They'll usually, you know, in some way do things like that. In years past, there have been scrimmages where there's actually points by the offense or defense. I don't think that kind of thing is happening, but you never know. Excuse me. But, yes, it's a practice, but you'll still get kind of your normal practice elements of offense versus defense in quite a few capacities, I'd say.
Did you get a look at the kickoffs last night in the Hall of Fame game?
Not one. We had a baseball game last night back at Buffalo. I had to get back here. And by the time I got home last night, it was just the rain. It was right after halftime. And then I looked, I turned on, I was like, why is the game not on? And then I realized it was suspended. That was my night. I did not. So I tweeted out last night this, that I did not see a single second of the game. How did the kickoff rules look and go? And I've had a bunch of people telling me, how about you guys? Why don't you tell me? Because I have not seen a single second or a single kickoff of last night.
Mission accomplished is what I would say. I know it's one game and it might be guys that aren't on the roster. 8 kickoffs, 7 returns, 1 touchback, and the longest return was 31 yards. I mean, over time, you'll get bigger returns. You'll get touchdowns mixed in. But if we had come in today and there were 3 touchdowns, we would be immediately talking about changing the rules. So
yeah.
What they want, Sal, I believe, is returns and the promise of potential for a big play and a play that you won't turn off. And I think that that's what they've gotten.
Was it weird watching it?
It was a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. The kicker's all by himself. You feel bad for him. He's lonely.
Well, no, they did have most of them. There were, I think it was 2 instances, Sal, where they had the punter come out and hold the ball for the kicker on the tee and then immediately grab it and then run off the field, which I think I saw the second highlight, the punter forgot the tee and he maybe got a penalty for it. I don't know. I didn't see what the flag was, but you see he forgets the tee as he's running off the field, which I would assume they're not supposed to forget it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting. Clay Martin met with us yesterday, guys, the official. I don't know how much you heard of that, if you played it or anything like that. It was really good on a lot of this stuff. And I asked him to clear up the confusion about this kicking stick and if it goes off the tee a couple times. He said there's no kicking stick. It is just the 12-player now. They got rid of the kicking stick. So that's why you saw that. So originally the rule was if the ball falls off the tee a couple times due to weather, you could have a kicking stick hold it, like one you warm up with. That's not the case anymore. What he said to me was, no, it's going to be a player. Player goes out there. And that's what you saw last night, which was interesting. There were a lot of good things in there. Clay Martin was really good yesterday. So we'll probably, might run that back on the Extra Point Show today or something. You might have some clips in there. But he was really good about a lot of the kind of rules clarifications on the kickoff. And just even the things that the officials are thinking about. And even something that, I think it was Thad Brown asked a great question. I can't remember who it was, but I didn't think about this, like all the positioning of the officials with all the new rules. Like, do you have enough people to cover all the things you have to look at for the officials? You know what I mean? Just a lot of really interesting stuff that went into it.
All right, Sal. We'll be listening as you cover things tonight at the Blue and Red. And we'll see you. Well, you're back to Fisher after that. We're back out there on Wednesday. So we'll see you Wednesday, if not sooner.
Okay, no problem, guys. I'll be back on today, Extra Point Show. And I think Brian's going to join me at 11. We'll talk a little bit about the Bills and golf and what's going on, the Olympics and things like that. But we're going to replay a couple of the people we heard from the last couple of days and, kind of catch up on things before we head over to the stadium for tonight.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Xander Schauffele, speaking of the golf, moments ago they had golf coverage and Schauffele spent about 5 minutes in the rough looking at a ball and a lie and a rules official came over.
Did you ever see the ball
no,
on the broadcast?
No, it was very, very deep rough.
Okay, yeah.
And with no facts to be behind this in any way, as the rules official came over and you have two men looking at blades of grass to see,
yeah.
I thought in that moment this should not be in the Olympics. You shouldn't just... I don't have anything to back that up.
What do you mean? Like the whole sport?
This should not... Yes.
The whole sport
in that
because of that?
Yes. In that moment, my visceral reaction was, all right, you know what, everybody? Pack it up. It should not happen.
What's the problem?
I've got men and women in gymnastics doing flips on 4-inch beams, and uh-huh. Here's Xander Schauffele asking for a ruling on blades of grass.
I mean,
he's got to go.
It's golf.
I love golf. Got to go.
Because there's what, a replay review? Like you only
it's
want
not
sports.
Even a replay. It's just
I mean, it's a review, kind of in a
it's,
way. They're reviewing
it's
the situation
to me about my. I didn't even know what they were doing.
I mean, the ball was probably like in a hole, right? Huh? So like a gopher hole. Did they have gophers?
Simone Biles would hit it out of there.
What do they have in France?
That's what I'm saying.
Simone Biles.
Michael Phelps would swim it out of there.
So when there's a when they were reviewing the other day in the USA basketball game, if there was 0.8 seconds left on the clock or 1.2 seconds left on the clock, should basketball have been eliminated in that moment?
Let's be real. Have you noticed these games do not have an endless barrage of rules analysts and reviews?
These sports?
Yeah.
Are you watching them on Gold Zone, though, or are you watching them in general? Because Gold Zone's probably not staying for the reviews.
In general.
All right.
There are not a lot of reviews, and there are not a lot of rules officials.
Yeah, like,
and, yet, international events are taking place.
We've got volleyball on right now between Brazil and Egypt. You're saying there's nothing in this game that could result in a review?
I don't think so. Not a rules analyst.
What if the point? What if the ball like hits the line, but it's really close? No.
No.
Look right there. Boom. The ball goes off the.
And what happened? Are they reviewing it? Are they reviewing it, Joe? Is there someone stopping the game?
They're not. But could they?
Just let's go. Let's play some sports.
Are there challenges in indoor volleyball?
803-0550 to join us. The blue and red tonight from the stadium. When we get back, an awkward moment in Miami. Kind of along the vein of when Jalen Ramsey called Josh Allen trash.
Uh-huh.
Tua has a new teammate who said a little something.
Ooh.
Last year.
Okay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.